We'll go into the ninth canto now. Sridhara Swami's verses first. Gunayam gunadavaptai vrunade karunanidhim tamaham sharanam yami paramanandamathavam. All transcendental qualities is present in whom? Referring to Krishna. That and everybody, all qualities takes whose shelter? And although, and the Supreme Personality, I take his tamaham sharanam yami paramananda madhavam. I take his complete shelter. Triguna ashtabir adhyaye sar vaivasada sudanvaya navame krishna sal bhakti prasangaya nirupyade. You know that Sridhara Swami gives you a brief of what is going to be discussed in this whole canto and each chapter. So these verses are related to that. He's saying there that in the ninth canto, 24 chapters talks about Surya Vamsham and Soma Vamsham, Solar Dynasty and the Lunar Dynasty, in order that Navami Krishna Sal Bhakti Prasangaya Nirupyade, that appearance of Krishna, to talk about the appearance of Krishna, it is for that in the 10th canto, for that purpose in the 9th canto, in 24 chapters, 13 chapters for Solar Dynasty and 11 chapters for Lunar Dynasty, Surya Vamsham and Chandra Vamsham, is spoken in the 9th canto to explain the appearance of Krishna in the 10th canto. Eva mukto ashtama skandhe sad dharma sattva shodhaka kartru bala vaktadin aswa manuadinam nirubane. In the 8th canto, what we have seen, he is saying that executing dharma in such a way that how one can purify oneself. One can purify oneself. And the history of the Manus, different Manus. That's what we have seen. The different Manus stories, the Manundarayana Katha. That is the 8th canto. By evaluating the different Manus, how Manus following the instructions of Krishna, Krishna's instructions properly, how it helped the people to realize the truth. That story is what was spoken in the 8th canto. Sridhara Swami says this, which we have seen, like Mahabali and others, they followed the injunctions very carefully. Although they were demons, asuras, but following the instructions, how they followed them. And also in the 8th canto, you saw in the beginning of the Indradyumna's story as Gajendra story, and all these things, what's explaining there is different Manundaradipati's time. Manundaradipati means those who are the authority for that particular Manu's time. Saddharma Shuddha Sattvanam Andareyangesha Salkada Surya Somanvayakhyane Adhuna Sangatochyate. By performing Saddharma, Saddharma means executing Dharma properly in the religious way, in a spiritual way, or executing spiritual life, those who are purified in that way, and their stories is what is spoken in this ninth canto. Now, why it is so? This ninth canto, when you go through, it is like a train. This king, his son. This king, his son. This king, this son. Like this, you will see a number of kings, dynasties, and the kings' names mentioned. And their children who took up from him, and then their sons, their sons, their sons. Like that it goes, right? So you may ask a question, why all these things for Parikshit, who is leaving his body now? It's already end of ninth canto, it's coming now. It's only 9, 10, 11, 12, isn't it? So, the answer to that is, Shuka Brahmarshi wanted to tell Parikshit that it's not you, the first king, who had thought the way you are thinking. You are not the first person. In the history throughout before, we are talking about history going back to millions of years before, there were great, great personalities. All those kings who took Krishna shelter in their life, that means they had one nature. By nature, Kshatriyas are all very enjoying spirit in them, isn't it? That's why they had many wives and many palaces and opulent life, everything opulent for them. But what is the beauty here is, these kings, they enjoyed their life very much, but they had one great quality. What was that? When they knew the time has come to go, they were able to throw away everything, go into the forest, execute spiritual life, and go back to spiritual world. That capacity in them. To tell us that a ruler is meant to be like this. That when they are ruling, they should rule properly. And they should live their life. Because as the kings, they had various reasons to be like that. But when the right time came, they were willing to throw away everything and walk away from the whole scene. That strengthened them. And only those kings who have done that, their story is only spoken in the Bhagavatam. Only their story is spoken. That's why you will see when you are going through the list, some of them are spoken important, some of them are ignored. Some of them are ignored. That's the reason for that. So, and to show to us that the Trayodamshabir Adhyaye Suryavamshonu Varnyate Egadashabir Adhyaye Samamshas Tadopare. First 13 chapters is about Suryavamsham and another 11 chapters is about Somavamsham. Solar dynasty and lunar dynasty. In there, Tatradu Pradame Adhyaye Vaivasara Sudanvaye Somavamsha Praveshokte Sudyamya Sthritam Uchyate. That in the first chapter itself, Manu's son, Sudyumna, and this Sudyumna's life was real miserable. Unfortunate it was, what happened to him. But he has to say all that because it is them from this Sudyumna that later on Somavamsham comes. Somavamsham comes from that, isn't it? We'll root through that and then we'll discuss that chapter. श्री राजोवाच मन्वन्दराणि सर्वाणि त्वयोक्तानि शुदानि मे वीर्याण्यनन्दवीर्यस्य हरेस्तत्र कृतानि च योऽसौ सत्यव्रतो नाम राजर्षिर्द्रविडेश्वर ज्ञानं योदितकल्पान्ते लेभे पुरुषसेवया स वै विवस्वदपुत्रो मनुरासीदिति श्रुतं त्वत्तस्तस्य सुदाश्चोक्त इक्ष्वागु प्रमुखा नृपाः तेषा वंशं पृथक् ब्रह्मन् वंशानुचरितानि च कीर्तयस्व महाभागा नित्यं शुश्रूषदां हिना ये भूता ये भविष्याश्च भवन्त्यद्यतनाश्च ये तेषां न पुण्यकीर्तीनां सर्वेषां वद विक्रमान् श्रीसूत उवाच एवं परीक्षिता राज्ञा सदसि ब्रह्मवादिनां पृष्ठप्रोवाच भगवान् शुक परमधर्मविल् श्रीशुक उवाच श्रूयतां मानवो वंश प्राचुर्येण परं तव न शक्यते विस्तरतो वक्तुं वर्षशतैरपि परावरेषां भूतानाम् आत्माय पुरुषपरा स एवासीदिदं विश्वं कल्पान्ते अन्यन्न किञ्चन तस्य नाभे समभवल् पद्मकोशौ हिरण्मय तस्य यज्ञे महाराज स्वयंभू चतुरानन मरीचर्मनसस्तस्य यज्ञे तस्यापि कश्यप दाक्षायण्यां तदोदित्यां विवस्वानभवल् सुताः ततो मनुश्राद्धदेव संज्ञायामास भारत श्रद्धायां जनयामास दशपुत्रान् स आत्मवान् इक्ष्वागो नृगशर्यादि दृष्टकरूषगान् नरिष्यन्तं पृषद्रं चात्मभगं च कविं विदू अप्रजस्य मनोपूर्वं वसिष्ठो भगवान् किल मित्रावरुणयोरिष्टिं प्रजार्थमकरोल् प्रभुम् तत्र श्रद्धा मनोपत्नी होदारं समयाचत दुहित्रार्थमुभागम्यं प्रणिपत्य पयो व्रताः प्रषिदोद्धुरिण्याहोद ध्यायं स्थल् सुसमाहिता ഹവിഷീ വ്യചരൽ തേന വഷൽക്കാരം ഗുണഗൃണന്ദ്വിജ ഓതുസ്തദ്വ്യഭിചാരേണ കന്യേളാനാമസാഭവൽ താം വിലോക്യമനുപ്രാഹ നാദി കൃഷ്ടമനാ ഗുരും ഭഗവൻ കിമിതം ജാതം കർമ്മവോ ബ്രഹ്മവാദിനം വിപര്യമഹോ കഷ്ടം ഏവം സ്യാൽ ബ്രഹ്മവിക്രിയാഃ യൂയം മന്ത്രവിദോ യുക്ത തപസാദഗ്ധ ഗിൽബിഷ കുദാ സങ്കല്പവൈഷമ്യം അനൃതം വിഭുദേ ശിവ തന്നിഷമ്യവജസ്തസ്യ ഭഗവാൻ പ്രഭിദാമഹ ഹോ ദുർവ്യതിക്രമം ജ്ഞാത്വാ ബഭാഷേ രവിനന്ദനം ഏതൽ സങ്കല്പവൈഷമ്യം ഹോ തുസ്തേ വ്യഭിചാരത തഥാപി സാധയിഷ്യേ സുപ്രജാസ്ത്വം സ്വതേജസ ഏവം വ്യവസിതോ രാജൻ ഭഗവാൻ സമഹായശ അസ്തൌഷീദാദിപുരുഷ ഇളായാം പുംസ്ത്വകാമ്യയാം തസ്ത്വൈ കാമവരം തുഷ്ടോ ഭഗവാൻ ഹരിരീശ്വര ദദാ വിളാഭവൽ തേന സുദ്യുമ്ന പുരുഷർഷഭാം സ ഏകദാ മഹാരാജാം വിഭചരൻ മൃഗയാം വനേ ബൃതകതിപയാമാധ്യൈ അശ്വമാരുഹ്യ സൈന്ധവം പ്രഗൃഹ്യരുചിരം ചാപം ശരാംശ പരമാത്ഭുതാൻ ദംശീതോ നൃഗം വിരോ ജഗാമദിശമുത്തരം സകുമാരോ വനം മേനോ അധസ്ഥാൽ പ്രവിവേശ യത്രാസ്തേ ഭഗവാൻ ശർവോ രമമാണ സഹോമയാം തസ്മിൻ പ്രവിഷ്ടമേ വാസോ സുദ്ധിമ്ന പരവീര അപശ്യൽ ശ്രിയമാത്മാനം അശ്വം ച വടവാം നൃപ തഥാ തദനുഗാ സർവേ ആത്മലിംഗ വിപര്യയം ദൃഷ്ട്വാ വിമനസോ ഭൂവൻ വീക്ഷമാണ പരസ്പരം ശ്രീരാജോവാച കഥാമേവം ഗുണോദേശ കേന വ ഭഗവൻ കൃത പ്രശ്നമേനം സമാചക്ഷ്വാപരം കൗതൂഹലം ഹിനാ ശ്രീ ശുകവാച ഏകദാ ഗിരിശം ദ്രഷ്ടു ഋഷയസ്തത്ര സൗവ്രത ദിശോ വിധിമിരാഭാസ കുർവന്തം സമുപാഗമൻ താൻ വിലോക്യാംബികയോ ദേവി അംബികാദേവി വിവാസാപ്രീരിതോ വൃഷം ഭർത്തുരംഗാൽ സമുത്ഥായ ദിവീം നീവീമാശ്വതപദ്യതാൽ ഋഷയോഭീതയോർവീക്ഷ്യ പ്രസംഗം രമമാണയോ നിവൃത്ത പ്രയുസ്തസ്മാ നരനാരായണാശ്രമം തദിദം ഭഗവാനഃ പ്രിയായ പ്രിയകാമ്യയ സ്ഥാനം യ പ്രവിശേദേതൽ സവൈ യോഷിൽ ഭവേദിതി തദൂർധ്വം വനം തദ്വൈ പുരുഷാവർജയന്തി സാ ചാനുജര സംയുക്ത ബിജചാരവനാധ്വനം അതതാമാശ്രമാഭ്യാശേ ചരന്തി പ്രമദോത്തമാം സ്ത്രീഭീ പരിവൃതാം വീക്ഷ ചകമേ ഭഗവാൻ ഭുത സാബിതം ചകമേ സുബ്രു സോമരാജസുതം പതിം സതസ്യം ജനയാമാസ പുരൂരവസമാത്മജം ഏവം സ്ത്രീത്വമനുപ്രാപ്തം സുദ്ധിമ്നോ മാനവോ നൃപ സസ്മാര സ്വകുലാചാര്യം വസിഷ്ഠം ഇതി ശുശ്രുമ സതസ്യതാം ദശാം ദൃഷ്ട്വാ കൃപയാ വൃഷപീഡിത സുദ്ധിമ്നസ്യാശയൻ പുംസ്ത്വം ഉപാധാവദശങ്കരം തുഷ്ടസ്തസ്മൈ സ ഭഗവാൻ ഋഷയേ പ്രിയമാവഹൻ സാംചവാചമൃതാം കുറുവൻ ഇദമാഹവിഷാം പതേ മാസം പുമാൻ സഭവിത മാസം സ്ത്രീ തവ ഗോത്രജ ഇത്ഥം വ്യവസ്ഥയാ കാമം സുദ്ധിമ്നോതുമേദിനി ആചാര്യനുഗ്രഹാൽ കാമം ലബ്ധ്വാ പുംസ്ത്വാം വ്യവസ്ഥയ പാലയാമാസ ജഗതീം അഭ്യനന്ദൻ സ്മതം പ്രജാഃ തസ്യോൽക്കലോകയോ രാജൻ വിമലശ്ച സുതാശ്രയ ദക്ഷിണാപദരാജാനോ ബഭൂവുർധർമ്മവത്സല തദപരിണതേ കാലേ പ്രതിഷ്ഠാനപതി പ്രഭു പുരൂരവസമുത്സൃജ്യ ഗാം പുത്രായ ഗതോ വനം ഇതി ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാപുരാണേ പാരമഹംസ്യാം സംഹിതായാം നവമസ്കന്ദേ ഇളോപാഖ്യാനേ പ്രഥമോധ്യായ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ സോ ഇൻ ദി 8th കാൻറ്റോ we have just briefly seen the appearance of Malsimurthy, like Vamanavadaram, another important incarnations. So due to this Malsimurthy's mercy or by blessings, Satyavrata became Shraddhadeva or what is called as Vaivasudamanu. He was born as Vaivasudamanu. So this Manu's lineage is what is being spoken in the ninth canto. From now on, that's what is going to be spoken. This Manu's lineage. Which one? Vaivasvata Manu. Who is Krishna addressing that as the Vivaswan in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? Imam Vivaswate Yoga. That Vivaswan's lineage is what's going to be spoken here. So, Surya Vamsham, Soma Vamsham, Solar Dynasty and Lunar Dynasty, two dynasties. First discussion is about Surya Vamsham, Solar Dynasty, and afterwards Soma Vamsham. And in that Surya Vamsham, a full incarnation, Purna Avataram, that is Sri Ramachandra, Rama Avataram. And similarly, in Soma Vamsham also, the Purna Avataram is Krishna Avataram. These two Avataram is special. One in Solar Dynasty, another one in the Lunar Dynasty, Rama Avataram and Krishna Avataram, they are special because they are Purna Avataram. Purna Avataram, that is. So, in one sense, if you look that these two important Avatarams, so Rama Avataram and Krishna Avataram, you can hear in this ninth canto. And you can see in one way, if you look at it, both these two dynasties come from the same source. Vaivasvata Manu. It comes from the same source. And that is started from same place. And so, first chapter, what we have just read through, it says, Vaivasvata Manu didn't have any children first. He didn't have any children. So, he called Vasishtha Maharshi. Vasishtha Maharshi is there, like Shukracharya for the Mahabali. Vasishtha Maharshi was their priest. Said, he told Vasishtha Maharshi that you have to perform a sacrifice to have children. We don't have children. So, in that sacrifice, some sacrifice was performed. And from that, a girl was born. A girl was born. But Manu, Vaivasvata Manu's mind was thinking that if I have a son, he will take control of the administration later. That was the plan in Vaivasvata Manu's heart. But unfortunately, it was born, a girl was born, who obviously cannot rule the, take control of the administration. So he didn't say anything to Vasishtha why this has happened. After that, they have different purificatory ceremonies when the child is born. Like Annaprashanam, Namakaranam, and all these things. So that means a few days have gone, few weeks or months have gone before this ceremony happens. Annaprashanam, Namakaranam, and all the other ceremonies happens. So one day, immediately he didn't say anything to Vasishtha. But in the assembly of other people, this Shraddha or Vaivasvata Manu told Vasishtha, why did we have a girl was born? Why was a girl born? Actually, we performed these sacrifices to have a boy. But I couldn't understand it, why it has happened in this way. Because Vaivasvata Manu was thinking, who is going to rule the planet if my absence... That was his main concern, going to do that. He put it in this way, that has the rishis lost their power in chanting the hymns, Vedic hymns. Because rishis were so powerful that if they have chanted something properly, the result must come. That was the way they are, isn't it? So what in our Shraddhadeva is asking, Vaivasvata Manu is asking, has the rishis lost their power of mantra, of chanting mantra? He says here, I wanted a boy to be born. Why did this happen? And that's what I have said, why a girl was born. So, when he said that, Vasishtha got a bit upset. Naturally, he got upset because he didn't know, he didn't understand the internal politics in the palace. The politics is everywhere. Even between husband and wife, there is politics in this world. There's no question about that. See, we are thinking all these relationships are very holy. But they are not. For survival's sake, we have to deal in a diplomatic way in life, isn't it? For whatever reason it may be. So the same politics happens there also, in Shraddhadeva's case also. He's the number one, first one. So if it is there, is there any wonder it's happening now? So it was not at all surprising. So he says to him that Vasishtha got a little bit upset when he said that. He said, when I did this sacrifice, the intention was to have a girl. I didn't do it for the sake of a boy. Vaivasvata Manu, he didn't tell him, he only said to Vasishtha, I wanted to have children. But in his mind he was thinking, I will have a boy. But the queen got involved in this. The queen got involved in this. So she says to him, Vasishtha says, your wife told me that she wants a girl. This is the whole thing, misfired, everything. So imagine the situation, what's going on there, isn't it? So I thought that if I do what she wants me to do, it will please you as well. This is why Vasishtha puts it into him. So like every man's problems in this world. So that is the reason, he says, that is the reason it has come as a girl, because I have performed the sacrifice to have a girl, he said. That in it, if you still have a doubt about the doubt about my mantras, what I have chanted, and the karma or sacrifice I have done, whether it has got the potency or not, I can show it to you. I can change that girl to a boy, he said. Vasishtha says this to the king, to Vaivasvata Manu. So when he said that, king says, is that possible? The king says, by now, at least it's 3 months' time. It's the time for feeding the rice. That means 3 months' time is already gone by now. It's one thing changing the sex straight away after birth. But now it is 3 months have gone, it is this body has grown as a male body. And now she is asking, is it possible to change that? So, and they have given the name also to this girl as Ila. Ila was the name given to her. So, Vasishtha Maharshi takes this child, puts her on the lap, and she say, we will change the name. We'll change the name. So, Ila changed. And the Ila itself became a male form, a name Ilan was given to him. The name was changed as Ilan. So, look at that person's misfortune after all what happened after this. He grew up as a boy. He changed his sex, became a boy now. And he goes for hunting. When he was 16 years old, he goes to the forest to hunt. Because they are Kshatriyas, isn't it? They have to do that. So, suddenly he realized while hunting, he looked at his own body and he has become a female again. He's become a female again. That means Ilan has become Ila again. So, when he looked around, everybody who had come with him has also become female, including the horses. Not only all the other soldiers who had gone with him, the horses also have all become female. And the reason was that place is Ilavrata Varsham. Ilavratam is where Lord Shiva stays with Sri Parvati there. And Shiva has given this blessing to Sri Parvati that anybody who comes to this area, they'll become female straight away. So, because of that blessing given to Sri Parvati, which Sudyumna did, this Ila didn't know anything about it, and he became a female again, that means Ila became a female again. So, including the horses, everybody. Nobody knew about this, that such a benediction was given to Sri Parvati. So, he has become like that. What to do now? And it was at that time, by chance, moon god, his son, Buddha was passing through that way. Buddha saw this Ila. Ila is very beautiful. Very, very beautiful. Buddha wanted to love her. Her relationship between Buddha and Ila. Buddha's birth itself is quite controversial, isn't it? You know, if you remember Bhagavatam stories, that Buddha did not have a very intelligent person. Buddha is considered to be topmost intelligent. That's why the word Buddhi comes from Buddha. Buddhi comes from Buddha. So this Buddha is the personality who fell in love with this Ila, and they had a relationship and a son was born from them. That is our Pururavas, who comes much later. In the Bhagavatam we studied about his Ailagida. Ailan is Pururavas and this Ailagida is from him. So so they had a what they call as the Gandharva Vivaham, like the Gandharva's way of marrying. They married each other. And after that the child was born, marriage was done, child was born, and they are all demigods, isn't it? Buddha and moon and all, they are demigods. They have got certain powers in them. What can you do? And they remembered about Manu. This all happened in the Alavada Varsham. All this has happened. So Manu came. Manu, they remembered Manu came. Vayusudha Manu came. Vasishtha also came with him. Together they came there. And all of them together, Vasishtha knew that this place is out of bounds for them. And they knew why it has happened. So Vasishtha says to Manu, don't worry, we will go to Lord Shiva and talk to him and see if we can do anything about it, make any changes in the rule, in the law. So all of them together goes to Shiva. So Vasishtha says to Shiva, this was a girl before, but I made him a boy. Now he has become a girl again. He said, and if he stays as a girl like this now, it will look awkward. Because what is my position then? I changed him into a boy and he has become a girl again. And also we don't have anybody to rule the kingdom, to the planet. Shiva says, because Vasishtha has asked for something, I have to agree. Because Vasishtha is, in the disciple succession, he is also comes. Vasishtha, Parashara, Shakti, Vedavyas. In that way, the Vasishtha has a role there, a big role as a spiritual teacher of the Vedic philosophy. And therefore, Shiva has a lot of consideration for Vasishtha in everything. So when he said that, I have to agree. But at the same time, I have given this boon to Sri Parvati. She will get upset if I change it. I have to satisfy Vasishtha also. So what he said was that I'll take into account both the two parties involved, Sri Parvati and Vasishtha. Lord Shiva decided, I can only do one thing, he said. What I can do today in this situation is that if he agrees, who this Ila, if she agrees, that she can be 1 month male and 1 month female. We can make an arrangement like that. 1 month he's male and 1 month he's female. So otherwise, I can give you another option, he said. He can be one day male, the next day female. In that way, two options he gave. Shiva gave them two options. 1 month and 1 month. Or 1 day and another next day. Male and female, in that way. Or, I can also give another option. He can be a female in the day and the male in the night time. We can make him that as well, he said. Whichever you want, you can choose, he said. Best options, isn't it? Best three options. Either day and night, or 1 day male and 1 day female, or 1 month male and 1 month female. I have no objection to any of these things, he said. So, whether he is agreeable or not, that's up to him. Shiva put it like that. He thought, Ila thought, how about half male and half female? Why not that? Another option. So many options. So nobody else had that before. So Ilan was thinking like that. But he has heard this, female becoming male, male becoming female, but never heard this half male, half female in that way. So anyway, he said he agreed for this. And it was agreed that particular month, that he will remain as a woman. On the 31st night, he will turn into male form. He will turn into male form. So, in the morning of the 1st of the month, when he wakes up, he is a male. 1st of the month. And then the whole month, he is a male. And then on the night of the 31st night, he will become a female again. He will become a female again. So, when he is in the female form, in the female form, the husband will come, who Buddha. Buddha will be there. And so, but when he is in the male form, who our Ila, 1 month he is in the male form, isn't it? He thought, when I am in the male form, I should have a wife as well. See how complex it is? Everything very complicated, isn't it? So he got married at that time. So what has happened now? 31st evening of every month, the husband has to go, and the first morning, the wife has to come in. Because that's how it is set up, isn't it? So, and he has got, in his wardrobe, he has got clothes of the male dresses and the female dresses, all, to wear at different months, what he has to wear. So, when all these things, what's happening, the royal family's activities, it spreads in the whole country, isn't it? Everybody talks about it. The royal family is very much scrutinized everywhere. So, people started talking, what kind of king we have got? This 1 month male, 1 month female, and he has got a wife when he is male, and he has got a husband when he is female. This is not good. This is not proper. People started talking like this. So it has become a joke among the public, the whole thing. And we saw him last month as a male traveling with his wife. Next month we are seeing him as a female traveling with her husband. So which one is correct? So what is, how sad it is, the situation. They start talking to each other. So, and they started ridiculing him. Are you not ashamed to live like this, as male and female? So what he did was, Sudhimna, who happened, that is his original name, he decided, I had enough of this life. He went to the forest, executed spiritual life, went back to the spiritual world. Didn't want to get involved in this world. Why did this happen? The reason is, prarabdham, you can't get rid of. He had the prarabdham to suffer like this. Somewhere he has conducted life in such a way that the result of that has come in this form in his life. So, what is indicating to us is that he was born in a great family, isn't it? The royal family. And he had the greatest spiritual master, Vasishtha. And who had the capacity to turn him into male or female, all these things. And not only that, father is the first king in the solar dynasty, Vaivasvata Manu, in the Surya Vamsham, the first king. In spite of all these things, a good birth, a good lineage, a good teacher, spiritual master, in spite of all these things, prarabdham will not let you go. Prarabdham will not let you go. Prarabdha karmam sakral, it says, that he is neither male nor female, and if it is either one of them, it was okay. But this changing situation all the time was not very good. So, practically trying to tell us that our prarabdham, each one of us, we have to carry it with us. Whichever way it comes, no matter who we are, if prarabdham comes and hits us, we have to accept it. That is the best thing to do. And but there's only one thing. If you have such heavy prarabdham, this is one heavy prarabdham this is. We all have different prarabdhams in different ways, isn't it? So, when prarabdham is very heavy, if you are still holding on to Krishna's lotus feet, eventually you will come out of it successfully. Eventually, you will come out of the problem. That is what this story is all talking about. That and Krishna gave him that mercy, that prarabdham one day finishes. Prarabdham has its power, but it finishes one day. But more powerful than prarabdham is Krishna consciousness, to show to us. That is what this story is all about. That in spite of the fact that he got birth in a very best family you could think of at that time, and as parents, if Vaivasvata Manu was the first Manu, and that is his son, 7th Manu in the Manu lineage. It is his son. Vasishtha is the spiritual master. In every way, things were very favorable. But unfortunately, he had to suffer like this. It's not very good, is it? That in spite of all the opportunity he had in life, in front of the public, he has become a laughingstock. And they didn't want him as the king. They rejected him. So he had to leave the kingdom. He has no place in the kingdom. Even though God birthed in the family of a Vaivasvata Manu and Vasishtha as the spiritual master and all the good opportunities he had, but there is some prarabdham to suffer through, and that came in the form of this insult from the public. And with that he had enough. He said goodbye to the world, walked into the forest, executed spiritual life. Because he was strongly fixed in spiritual life, Krishna decided to look after him. Prarabdham, Krishna says, I won't put my hand into that. That you have to suffer. That's your karma has come back. Prarabdham, in the form of prarabdham. That you have to suffer through. But the story is trying to teach us that even if the prarabdham is heavy, because we all have different prarabdhams in different way, if you take to Krishna consciousness seriously, in spite of the prarabdham, if you hold on to Krishna, eventually, when the prarabdham goes, Krishna will take care of it, the situation. There is Krishna shelter. To prove that, this story in the ninth canto, this first story. Then after that, we will continue with the rest after break. Cheto darpanam arjanam bhavamahada vagninurvapanam shreya kaitava chandriya vidaranam vidhyavadhu jivanam anandam budivardhanam pratipada purnamrita swadhanam sarvapna svavanam param vijayade shri krishna sankirtanam magari bahuda nija sarva shakti tatra arpida nivida smaranena kalam Edadrishi tava kripa bhagavan mamabhi durdeiva midrishamiha janina nuragaha trinaravi shunichena taroravi sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari nathanam najanam nasundarim kavitamva jagadishakamai mama janmani janmani shwari bhavadad bhaktirahai tugitvai ai nanda danuja kingaram paradamma mamishame bhavambudau kriya tava pada pangaja stita duli sadrasham jindaya nayanam galada shudharaya adanam gagadaruddhaya gira pulagarna jidam gadavabhu tava naman grahane bhavishyadi yuga idam nimeshena chakshusha pravisha idam Shunyayidam jagat sarvam govinda virahe name Ashrishyava padaradam vinashtumam adarshanam marmahadam karyotuva yathadadava vidathadulam pado malpranamahastuna yevana param. So, the first chapter in the ninth canto, we saw the story of Sudyumna. And then from Sudyumna comes later Ila, and from Ila comes our Pururavas, whom we studied in the 11th canto earlier. You can see how powerful the impact is. Pururavas, if you remember when we talked about Pururavas' history, if you look back, because of this impurity in the birth, it affected him. A great personality. There is no question about his greatness. Great in the sense that Krishna takes him as a example while instructing Uddhava. So imagine how great he has to be. Pururava's position, Ailagidam is Pururavas, isn't it? Ailagidam, Ailan is Pururavas. But unfortunately, because of the impurity at the birth, it has affected his whole life in this world. When he got attracted to Urvashi, and due to that, later when he came to his senses, that's what this Ailagidam is about, isn't it? If you remember those verses what he spoke, that if you fall into that trap of attachment to anybody, if you go into Ailagidam, it is important to mention that here, because what you learn in either Ailagidam is an eye-opener to everybody. He's saying to us that, which should be the next one. Yes. Yeah. in his relationship with Urvashi, he's saying, I didn't even know that the sun was setting and rising. To that extent, that means the bodily identity has become so strong. That's why he's saying here that that in Ailagiram he mentions that it is the 26th chapter. Yeah. Yeah. Ahome Altma Samoham, 9th verse. Yen Altma Yoshidam Krada, Kridamagas Chakravarti, Naradeva Shikhamani, Naradeva Shikhamani. And if you look at the 24th verse, 22, 23, and 24, Krishna held on to those verses from Ailagita. And Krishna is saying there in the next Shri Bhagavan Vaja, if you look, it is based on those three verses. What did he say? He's saying, Athabi Noba Sajeda, Strishu Straineshu Cha Arthavil, Vishadayan Indriya Samyogal, Manachubhyadina Anyadha. Mind will never get disturbed, Manachubhyadina Anyadha, unless sense objects comes into contact with the mind. This is the important lesson to learn from that. What he's saying here, Adhabi novasajeda strishu strineshu chartavit. Vishay indriya samyogal manakshubhidi nanyada. Mind by nature has this problem that as soon as it comes into contact with sense objects, which happens through the senses. Vishayam indriyam sambhogam. Vishay indriya samyogam. Samyoga means contacting, coming into contact with. So vishayam means sense objects, indriyam means senses. So, Vishaya Indriya Samyogal Manakshubhyadi. Mind will get definitely disturbed. Na Anyatha, otherwise not. That is a statement there, important. Vishaya Indriya Samyogal Manakshubhyadi Na Anyatha, otherwise it will not happen. Then he is saying, Adrishtar Ashurad Bhavanam Bhavana Bhavam Ubajayade Asambrayunyada Pranan Shyamidhi Simidam Mana. Unless you get this mind in a peaceful state, it's not possible to progress in spiritual path. There is no question of progress. That's what he's saying here. Adrishtat, Ashrudat, Bhavan, Na Bhavam Ubajayade, Asambrayinjada Pranan, Shyamidhi Simidam Mana, Tasmal Sango Na Kartavyam, Strishu, Straineshu, Che Indriye, Vidusham Chape Vishrabdham, Shadvarga Kimumadrisham. All those verses. So, then Krishna is saying after, this is the song from Puriravas, Ailagida. And Ailagita starts from verse 7 to verse 24. And Krishna is talking based on that Krishna's instructions to us. He's saying to us, Evam pragayadan nurpadeva deva sa urvashi lokamatho vihaya atmanam atmanyavagamyamam vai umaramal jnana vidhuta mohaha. That jnanam inside was so deep in Pururavas that he didn't know that what was happening in his life. But when he had come to his senses, he says, Evam Prakayam Nrupadeva Deva. Nrupadeva Deva means he was the king of kings, you can say. He was such an emperor personality, great personality emperor. But due to this attachment with Urvashi, he is no more important. He felt that he had a great birth, Buddha's son. Imagine that. And Buddha was intelligent person, isn't it? You remember Brihaspati and Moon, they were bargaining for this boy, for Buddha. Brihaspati was claiming that it's my son. Moon said that it is my son. Then Tara, the mother, finally declared it is Moon's son. So that's how Buddha became Moon's son. Because Buddha, what he did was, when they started arguing, Brihaspati and the Moon started arguing about who's the father, Buddha got up and said to Tara, mother, why are you keeping quiet? Say what you want to say. Don't keep quiet, he said. So that intelligent he was, because mother is the right person to say who the father is, isn't it? So once Tara said that, then immediately Brihaspati has to accept it. Brihaspati had no choice. And Brahma, who was trying to settle the dispute, told moon that you can have the sun. And Buddha was given as a son of moon. And he was considered intelligent from the very beginning, an intelligent person. And that Buddha's son is this Purayavas. So what it is indicating to us, Krishna is saying to us, you may be highly intelligent, but spiritual advancement is not dependent on your intelligence. This is the important principle. Spiritual advancement is not dependent on the intelligence. Here, because of this special situation what Purayavas landed, because of his attachment to Urvashi, why did this happen like this? Urvashi was definitely the most beautiful person. Naranarayana Rishi created Urvashi from the Uru, from the thigh. That's how this Urvashi came. And even today in India, they give the best film actress award is Urvashi Award, it's called. So that's how Urvashi is rated so high, because of her beauty. So this Urvashi, he fell, Urvashi had a curse from the she was cursed to come and stay with us. Normally, she wouldn't come. She belongs to that higher category of people. For them, we are like worms. We look at the human body in that way. But to finish up the curse, she had to come here. And this was an opportunity when she saw Pururavas. Pururavas went to the heavenly planets. There she met Pururavas there. So seeing Pururavas, his courage and his personality, Urvashi was attracted towards him. So she had the curse to finish up. So she said, anyway, I'll go there and spend the time with Pururavas, finish up the curse, and then I'll come back to, because Urvashi is in the Brahmalokam, she stays with Lord Brahma, and in Brahma's planet, Brahma Sadasa, that means Brahma's assembly, she dances and sings there. So she is in a very highly, like a Hollywood actress or something, that position she has there. Anyway, when she came here, she put certain conditions to Pururavas, which we have discussed before. And Pururavas agreed for everything, because he just wanted to have Urvashi. That's all what he wanted. But unfortunately, when Urvashi left him, Pururavas was heartbroken. He didn't know what to do. He says he was wandering around without any direction. And he was feeling so bad about himself that I fall into the situation. My ancestors who had come, they have all lived a spiritual life, whereas I am like this, in this rotten situation. So, Ailagidam, if you read, you will understand about that. And Krishna is saying here, Altmanam altmanyavagamya mamvai uparamil jnana vidhutamoha. Till that knowledge comes in about the soul, this attachment to the body, that is the difficulty with this attachment to the body. It drags us down to such levels that again to come back to spiritual consciousness is very, very difficult. Once you have got absorbed in the body, and if the body drags us down to attachment to another body in another form, then to gain back the spiritual strength back is very, very difficult. That's what he's warning there. So I was just mentioning that, these two verses, Tasmal sango na kartavyam, streshu straineshu chendriye, vidusham chapya vishraddham, shadvarga kimamadrisham. He says, women on their own are not the problem, but people who are talking about women, they are worse people. He said, separately, if you keep man and woman separately, they are both good. Both are good. Men are good, women are good. But when they come into contact, and then from that relationships, a lot of problems comes. Ailagidam is all about that. So anyway, we will discuss these two chapters now. And then we will go through the summary of that. So, Didiyadhyaya Didiyemane Putranam Dvava Putra Virakhada Karushagadi Panjanam Vamshanaha Lukukramal. Among the sons of Manu, there were Kavi and Prashagna, two personalities. Both of them were very highly detached and renounced from this world. So, these two sons didn't have any family members. From Karusha, five sons are spoken, and that is in the second chapter. So, they didn't touch about Kavi and Prashagna. Shri Shuka Vacha, Evam Gadeda Sudhimne, Manur Vaivasuda Sude, Putragama Stavastebe, Yamunayam, Shadam Samaha, Tadoya Janman Udeo, Apathyartam Harim Prabhum, Ichuaga Purvajan Putram Lebe, Sosadrishandesha, Prashadrastu Manuvi Putro, Gopalu, Guruna Krada, Palaya Masanga, Yatu Ratram, Virasana Prada,
ഏകദാ പ്രാവിശദ്ഘോഷ്ടം ശാർദൂലോ നിശി വർഷതി ശയാനാം ഗാവം ഉത്ഥായ ഭീതാസ്ത ബിഭ്രപൂർ വ്രജൈ ഏകാം ജഗ്രാഹ ബലവാൻ സാ ചുക്രോശഭയാ തുരാ തസ്യാസ്തൽക്രന്ദിതം ശ്രുത്വാ വൃഷധ്രോഭി സസാരഹ ഖൽഗമാദായ തരസാ പ്രലീനോടുഗണേ നിശി അജാനന്ദഹനദ് ബഭ്രോ ശിര ശാർദൂല ശങ്കയാ വ്യാഘ്രോഭി വൃക്നശ്രവണോ നിസ്ത്രിംശാഗ്രാഹദസ്തദ നിശ്ചക്രാമഭൃശം ഭീതോ രക്തം പതി സമിൽസൃജൻ മന്യമാനോ ഹതം വ്യാഘ്രം വൃഷധ്രവരവീര അദ്രാക്ഷീൽ സുഹദാം ബഭ്രം വിഷ്ടായാം നിശി ദുഃഖിതാഃ തം ശശാവകുലാചാര്യ കൃദാഗസമകാമത നക്ഷത്രബന്ധുശൂദ്രസ്ത്വം കർമ്മണാ ഭവിതാമുന ഏവം ശബ്ദസ്തു ഗുരുണ പ്രത്യഗൃഹണൽ കൃത അഞ്ജലി അധാരയൽ വ്രതം വീര ഊർധ്വരേതോ മുനിപ്രിയം വാസുദേവേ ഭഗവതി സർവാത്മനി പരേ അമലേ ഏകാന്തിത്വം ഗതോ ഭക്തിയ സർവഭൂത സുഹൃൽ സമാഹ വിമുക്തസംഗാ ശാന്താത്മാ സംയദാക്ഷോ അപരിഗ്രഹ യദൃശയോപമനേന കൽപ്പയൻ മൃത്യുമാത്മന ആത്മന്യാത്മനമാധായ ജ്ഞാനതൃപ്ത സമാഹിത വിജചാരമഹീമേധാം ജഡ അന്ധബധിരാകൃതി ഏവം വൃത്തോ വനം ഗത്വാ ദൃഷ്ട്വാ ദാവാഗ്നിമുത്ഥിതം തേനോപയുക്തകരണോ ബ്രഹ്മപ്രാപ പരമുനി കവികനീയൻ വിഷയേഷു നിസ്പൃഹോ വിസൃജ്യ രാജ്യം സഹബന്ധുമിർവനം നിവേശചിത്തെ പുരുഷം സ്വരോചിഷം വിവേശ കൈശോരവയാ പരം ഗതാഹ കരുഷാൻ മാനവാദാസൻ കാരുഷാക്ഷാത്രജാതയാ ഉത്തരാപദഗോപ്താരോ ബ്രഹ്മണ്യ ധർമ്മവത്സല ദൃഷ്ട അർദ്ധഷ്ടമഭൂക്ഷത്രം ബ്രഹ്മഭൂയഗതവും ക്ഷിതോ നൃഗസ്യ വംശസുമതിർ ഭൂതജ്യോതിസ്തോ വസു വസോ പതികസ്ഥൽപുത്ര ഓഘവാൻ ഓഘവൽപിത കന്യാ ച ഓഘവതി നാമം സുദർശന ഉവാഹതാം ചിത്രസേനോം നരിഷ്യാന്തം ദക്ഷസ്ഥസ്യ സുതോ ഭവൽ തസ്യ മീഡാം സ്തുത കൂർച്ച ഇന്ദ്രസേനസ്തു തൽസുത വീതിഹോത്രസ്തു ഇന്ദ്രസേനാൽ തസ്യ ശ്രത്യശ്രവാമഭൂൽ ഉരുശ്രവാസുതസ്തസ്യ ദേവദത്തസ്തുതോ ഭവൽ തദോ അഗ്നിവേശോ ഭഗവാൻ അഗ്നി സ്വയമഭൂൽ സുത കാനിനമിതി വിഖ്യാതോ ജാതുകർണ്യോ മഹാന് ഋഷി തദോ ബ്രഹ്മകുലം ജാതം അഗ്നി വേശ്യായനം നൃപ നരീഷ്യന്ദ്വാനയ പ്രോക്തൃഷ്ടവംശമത ശൃണു നാഭാഗോ ദുഷ്ടപുത്രോന്യം കർമ്മണാ വൈശദാം ഗത ഭലന്ദന സുതസ്തസ്യ വത്സപ്രീതിർഭലന്ദനാൽ വത്സപ്രീതേ സുതപ്രാംശു തൽസുതം പ്രമതിം വിദു ഖനിത്ര പ്രമതേ തസ്മാ ചാക്ഷുഷോദ വിവിംശതി വിവിംശതി സുതോരംഭ ഖനിനേത്രോസ്യ ധാർമിക കരന്ധമോ മഹാരാജസ്തസ്യ സീതാത്മജോ നൃപ തസ്യാ വീക്ഷ്യൽ സുതോ യസ്യ മരുത്തശ്ചക്രവർത്യഭൂൽ സമ്പർത്തോയജയ അദ്യം വൈ മഹായോഗ്യ അംഗിരസ്തുത മരുത്തസ്യഥായജ്ഞോ നതധാന്യസ്യ കശ്ചന സർവം ഹിരൺമയം ത്വാസീൽ യകിഞ്ചിൽ ചാസ്യ ശോഭനം അമാദ്യമിന്ദ്ര സോമേന ദക്ഷിണാഭിർദ്വിജാദയ മരുത പരിവേഷ്ടാരോ വിശ്വദേവോ സഭാസദ മരുത്തസ്യ നമ പുത്ര സസ്യാരാസീദ് രാജ്യവർദ്ധന സുദൃതി തൽസുജ്ഞേ സൗദൃദേയോ നരസുത തൽസുത കേവലസ്തസ്മാൽ ബന്ധുമാൻ വേഗവാം സ്ഥത ബന്ധുസ്തസ്യഭവദ്യസ്യ തൃണഭിർദുർമഹീപതി തം ഭേജ അലംബുഷാദേവി ഭജനീയ ഗുണാലയം വരപ്സരായത പുത്ര കന്യാ ചേ ഇടവിടാഭവൽ തസ്യാം ഉൽപാദയാമാസ വിശ്രവാ ധനദം സുതം പ്രാധായ വിദ്യാം പരമം ഋഷി യോഗേശ്വര അൽപിതു വിശാല ശൂന്യബന്ധുശ്ച ധൂമ്രകേതുശ്ച തൽസുത വിശാലോ വംശകൃദ്രാജ വൈശാലീം നിർമ്മമേ പുരീം ഹേമചന്ദ്രസുതസ്തസ്യ ധൂമ്രാശ്രസ്തസ്യ ജാൽമജ തൽപുത്രാൽ സംയമാദാസീൽ കൃഷാശ്വ സഹദേവജ കൃഷാശ്വാൽ സോമദത്തോബൂൽദ്യോശോ മേധൈരിടസ്പതിം ഇഷ്ട്വാ പുരുഷമാവാഗ്രം ഗൈം യോഗേശ്വരാശ്രിത സോമദത്തിസ്തു സമതി തൽസുതോ ജനമേ ജയ ഏതേ വൈശാല ഭൂപാല തൃണബിന്ധോർ യശോധര ഇതി ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാപുരാണേ പാരമംസ്യം സംവിധായം നവമസ്കന്ദേ ദ്വിതീയോധ്യായ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ. ദെൻ ഇൻ ദി നെക്സ്റ്റ് ചാപ്റ്റർ മനൂസ് സൺ ഷര്യാദി ആൻഡ് ഷര്യാദിസ് ഡൈനാസ്റ്റി ഈസ് സ്പോക്കൺ ആൻഡ് ഇൻ ദാറ്റ് ചാപ്റ്റർ കംസ് ദ സ്റ്റോറി ഓഫ് സുകന്യ ആൻഡ് രേവതി ദേ ആർ അമേസിംഗ് സ്റ്റോറി. തൃതീയ മനുപുത്രസ്യ ഷര്യാദേ കീർത്തതേ അന്വയ യത്ര സൗകന്യമാഖ്യാനം രൈവതം ച മഹാത്ഭുതം. തൃതീയോധ്യായ ശ്രീശുകുവാച ശര്യാദിർമനോരാജ ഭ്രമിഷ്ടസഭൂവഹ യോവോ അംഗിരസാം സത്രേ ദ്വിതീയമഹമൂജീവാൻ സുകന്യാനാമ തസ്യാസിൽ കന്യാ കമലലോചന തയാസാർദ്ധം വനഗതോ അഗമച്ഛവനാശ്രമം സാഖീവി പരിവൃത വിജന്യുത്യംഗ്രിവാൻ വനേ വൽമീകരന്ദ്രേദൃശേ ഖദ്യോദേമിവ ജ്യോതിഷി തദ്ദൈവ ചോദിതാ ബാല ജ്യോതിഷി കണ്ടകേന വൈ അവിദ്യന്മുഗ്ധഭാവേന ശുശ്രാവാസക്തതോ ബഹു ശകൃന്മൂത്രനിരോധോ സൈനികാനാം ച തൽക്ഷണാൽ രാജശസ്തമുപാലക്ഷ്യ പുരുഷാൻ വിസ്മിതോ ബ്രവീൽ അഭ്യഭദ്രം നയുഷ്മാഭിർ ഭാർഗവസ്യ വിജയേഷ്ഠിതം വ്യക്തം കേനാഭിനസ്തസ്യ കൃതമാശ്രമദൂഷണം സുകന്യാപ്രാഹവിതരം ഭീതാകിഞ്ചിൽ കൃതം മയ ദ്വേ ജ്യോതിഷി അജാനന്ദ്യ നിർഭിന്നേ കണ്ടകേന വൈ दुहिस्तद्वज श्रुत्वा शर्यादिर्जातसाध्वसामुनिं प्रसादयामास वल्मीकान्तर्हितं शनै तदभिप्रायमाज्ञाय प्रादादुहितरं मुने कृशान्मुक्त्रस्तमामन्त्र्य पुरं प्रायाः समाहिता सुगन्याचवनं प्राप्य पदीं परमगोपनं प्रणयामास चित्तज्ञ अप्रमत्तानुवृत्तिभिः कस्यचिल्त्वदकालस्य नासत्यव आश्रमागतौ त्वोपजयित्वा प्रोवाच वयो मे दत्तमीश्वरौ ग्रहं ग्रहीषे स्वस्य यज्ञेयावाप्य सोमपो क्रियतामेवायोरूपं प्रमदानां यदीप्सितम् बाणमित्युच दुर्विप्रम् अभिनन्दिभिषक्तमौ निमज्जतां भवानस्मिन् हृदये सिद्धमिनिर्मिदे इत्युक्तौ जरयाग्रस्तदेहो धमनि सन्दधा कृतं प्रवेशतो शुभ्यं वलीबलिदविप्रिय पुरुषाश्रय उत्तमस्तु अभीच्यावनिदा प्रिया पद्मस्रज कुण्डलिनं सुलिरूपा सुवाससा तान्निरीक्ष्य वराराहो सरूपान् सूर्यवर्चस अजानदीपदीं साध्वी अश्विनौ शरणं ययौ दर्शयित्वा पदीं तस्यै पादिव्रत्येन तोषितौ कृषिमामन्त्रय दुर्विमानेन त्रिविष्टवम् यक्ष्यमाणोदशर्यादि च्यवनास्य आश्रमं गदा ददर्श दुहितु पार्श्वे पुरुषं सूर्यवर्चसं राजा दुहितरं प्राह कृतपादाभिवन्दनम् अशिषश्चां प्रयुञ्जानो नादिप्रीतिमना इव चिकीर्षितं ते किमिदं पतिस्त्वया प्रलम्बितो लोकनमस्कृतो मुनि यल्त्वं जनाग्रसम् असत्यसम्मतं विहाय जारं भजसे मुमुध्वगम् कथं वदिस्त्यवगदान्यदा सदां कुलप्रसूदे कुलदूषणं त्विदं बिभर्षिजारं यदवत्र वा कुलं पितुश्च भर्तुश्च नयस्यथस्तमा एवं ब्रुवाणं पितरं स्मयमाना शुचिस्मिता उवाच दाद जामादा तव एष भृगुनन्दन शशं सपित्रे तत्सर्वं अयोरूपाविलम्भनं विस्मित परम प्रेतस्तनयां परिषस्वजे सोमेन याजेन्वीरं गृहं सोमस्य जाग्रहील असोमवौरप्यशिनौ चवनी स्वेन तेजसा हन्तुं तमाददे वज्रं सद्योमन्यमर्षिदा सवज्रं स्तम्भयामास भुजमिन्द्रस्य भार्गवा अन्वजानं स्तत सर्वे गृहं सोमस्य जा अश्विनौ विषजा विधियल् पूर्वं सोमाहुत्या बहिष्कृतौ उत्तमानबर्हिरानर्तो भूरिषेणिति त्रया शर्यादेरभवन्पुत्र आनर्तादेवदो भवल् स्वन्द समुद्रे नगरि विनिर्माय कुशस्थलीम् आस्थितो भुङ्क्त विषयान् आनर्तान्दीन् अरिन्दम तस्य पुत्रशतं जङ्क्ये कुकुद्मि ज्येष्ठम् उत्तमम् कुकुद्मिरेवदीम् कन्याम् स्वमादाय विभुम् गदा कन्यावरम् परिपृष्टम् ब्रह्मलोकमवावृतम् आवर्तमाने गान्धर्वे स्थितोऽलब्धक्षणक्षणम् तदन्तमाध्यमानम् स्वाभिप्रायम् निवेदयल् तच्छ्रुत्वा भगवान् ब्रह्म प्रहस्यतमुवाचः अहोराजन् निरुद्धास्ते कालेन हृदये कृता तल्पुत्रपौत्रनृत्राणाम् गोत्राणि च न शृण्महे कालोऽभियादस्तृणव चतुर्युगविकल्पिता तल्गच्छ देवदेवांशो बलदेवो महाबल कन्यारत्नमिदम् राजन् नररत्नाय देहि भो भुवोभरावताराय भगवान् भूतभावन अवतीर्णो द्विजांशेन पुण्यश्रवणकीर्तन इत्यादिष्टोऽपि वन्द्याजाम् नृवः सुब्रह्मागदा त्यक्तम् पुण्यजनत्र आसाल् भ्रातृभिर्दृक्षवस्थितै सुधाम् दत्त्वानवद्याङ्गीम् बलाय बलशालिने बदर्याख्यम् गतो राजा तप्तम् नारायणाश्रमम् श्रीमद्भागवते महापुराणे पारमंस्यां संहितायां नाम स्कन्दे तृतीयोऽध्याय सर्वत्र गोविन्द नाम सङ्कीर्तनम् गोविन्द गोविन्द So this Ila, when she was in the female body, a son was born. We talked about that. He is Pururavas, isn't it? Pururavas is him. He is also called island. And that's why Krishna calls it as Ila Gita. Just like Bhikshu Gita, Hamsa Gita, Dattatreya Gita, Ila Gita. The four Gitas in the 11th canto. Ekadasha Skandam is for these. So, Somavamsham, the Luna dynasty, begins from this Pururavas. Now, here first talked about the Suryavamsham, solar dynasty. And the first child, when it happened like this, neither male nor female, Manu became very disheartened. Manu became very unhappy. And he took to Krishna consciousness seriously, again served Krishna very seriously. Then Manu had 10 children. 10 children were born after that. Beginning with Ikshvaku. Ikshvaku is the first one. So, it is from those 10 children, solar dynasty has come. Surya Vamsham has come from that. And So first they talk about this son called Prishadra, Prishadra story, particularly, and Prishadra has to go to the Gurukulam according to the system those days, that is in Vasishtha's ashram. Vasishtha is the guru who is teaching them the shastram, so he had to go and stay there. So, unlike today, those days it was not like the way we are today, isn't it? Sending children to school, whole life of 10, 12 years in life, gone. Like that. But rishis had a higher understanding of life. They were focused on self-realization. So therefore, whatever that education necessary for self-realization, they will teach. But useless education just to get a job and to study for that at the end was not considered very profitable in their attitude. Rishis thought like that. So their philosophy was, when it's time to study, ready for this education, send them to the Gurukulam and stay there what is necessary. And whatever experience they had in the Guru's place, Gurukulam means Guru's accommodation, is provided by the Guru there, and accept whatever that happens there. You can't complain anything about that. Unlike today, it's all different, isn't it? Whatever that happens, people have different understanding about education, and people are frightened to send children to school sometimes because of the problems that happens there. So, what did Vasishtha do with this child? He told him, you look after the cows. That's the way, their way of teaching. That he didn't have anybody to look after the cows, so he told him, you look after the cows. And there were many cows to be looked after. Although he is the son of the king, as far as spiritual master is concerned, no recognition of that. No importance given, because when you go to the spiritual master's place, humility is the first thing. And you got to have that humility. You may be anybody, it doesn't matter. It won't be accepted. So, that is the way Gurukulam runs. So, you can see how that relationship is important. Then, over a period of time, now it becomes that Guru has to look after the disciples' cows. It has gone the opposite way. Because the whole relationships changes, the values changes, isn't it? So, it was not like that. So, at the night time, he was looking after the cows. It was total dark. And at that point, a tiger or something got into the goshala, where so many cows were there. And he was sitting there, fully awake, because he had to look after them. And this tiger walked in, and he didn't have any lamp, nothing, to find out whether it was who has come, nothing like that. Vasishtha has not provided anything to him. So he was sitting there. What he did was, he pulled out his sword, knowing well that some animal has got in and is ready to eat in the cows. So to protect the cows, he pulled out his sword and whacked with the sword. And that hit the ear of the tiger, ear's tiger. But unfortunately, that is what it was, it hit. But in that process, the sword also hit the cow, and the cow's throat was broken. The cow died. Cow lost its life. The tiger, when it got hurt, it escaped straight away from there, thinking that there is a problem there. So, tiger jumped out and escaped and ran away, but this cow got killed, and they noticed that in the morning, when the sun risen. So, exactly opposite thing happened, and Vasishtha came up in the morning. He said, one who cannot look after the cows is not qualified to run the planet or run the kingdom. He's not qualified to run the kingdom. This was Vasishtha's judgment straight away about him. So when this happened, he felt that he has no qualifications to rule the kingdom, and Vasishtha cursed him that he won't get the position. And so what he did was, he went to the forest and practiced spiritual life and went back to the spiritual world. He didn't stay back.
So this is also another Prarabdha story. It was meant to happen. Prarabdha's nature is always like this. If it is meant to happen, it will happen. No matter what you try to do, you try to go against it, it won't work. It will happen in its own way. So, in a big family, he was born like our Sudyumna, son of Swayambhu Manu. And childhood is spent looking after the cows of Vasishtha. But in spite of that, he didn't have the good fortune of administering the kingdom. He didn't get that opportunity. And therefore, ultimately, he had to leave everything and go to the forest. They're all princes, aren't they? Gone in the royal family. So that means you could have normally expected a very high material life for them, but that didn't happen for them due to Prarabdham. They went in the forest, engaged in spiritual life, and they went back, he went back. So, in this ninth canto, you will see so many stories like this. Very, very interesting stories. And from many stories, you have a lot of things to learn also from these stories. Because the idea is that if you understand these stories properly, you will get a certain steadiness in the mind. You will be able to come to terms with life. Because otherwise, what happens when normally things happen in life, unexpectedly something happens, you get completely shaken by that. Why did this happen to me? Because we are planning our life in a particular way, but something else happens in life. It's not that what we planned always happens. Is it not? So generally, it can happen that sometimes, unless there is some proper understanding inside of life, and that you get from this ninth canto. That's the beauty of this ninth canto. There are so many stories in this. And how, because these Kshatriya kings were very much involved in family life. That's why for family people particularly, this ninth canto is a very instructive thing. It is. That this, from these two episodes what we have seen this morning, you can see both in the case of Sudyumna and in the case of Prashagna, how their life turned. Isn't it? Sudyumna was born in the royal family, princes, all the good education possibility with Vasishtha, complete, full of material opulences. Still, what happened to his life? Who can change that? He was meant to suffer that way, and it happened. It did. Even though Vasishtha tried to change the male form, and then Shiva changed to 1 month male, 1 month female, ultimately, no matter who does what, at the end, if you are meant to suffer here, you will suffer. You won't be able to escape from that. So that lesson from Sudyumna is important. And similarly, but Sudyumna was intelligent enough to give up everything and run to the forest and engage in spiritual activities and come out of this mess, what we are here now. Same thing with this Prashagna also. Prashagna was, although he could have probably gone back and become a king later, if everything went smoothly, but it didn't happen. Unfortunately, this one incident in his life, by killing that cow, Vasishtha turned, said, no, you're not qualified, because you killed the cow. And to that extent, they were strict also. Vasishtha was like that. So, like this, there are so many stories in this ninth canto. And another one, next one, is the Shariyadi's story. Shariyadi was a king, and he had a daughter called Sukanya. His daughter's name is Sukanya. And she, like the name, she was. Sukanya means a person who has a very good character. Very good character. Good bhavam and good swarupam. Good nature and beautiful and good looking as well. And the king was very fond of her, this daughter Sukanya. So wherever he goes, he will take Sukanya with him. When he goes on hunting also, Sukanya will go with him. So one day when he went on a hunting expedition into the forest, and they have finished their hunting, and the king was resting in the forest. He was taking some rest. And Sukanya was there with Sukanya's other friends as well, other friends with her. And they couldn't stay quiet. Naturally, they were curious to find out what's going on in the forest. They're coming from the palace. So naturally, they were attracted to all what was going on in the forest. And they were looking at different scenes in the forest while walking in that way. Suddenly, they saw a place where full of, what do they call it, the Ant hill. A huge ant hill they saw there in one place. And they have not seen this in the palace. You'll only see these things in the forest, isn't it? In the palace you won't see them. So all these girls, they got attracted to this particular, the way that it is formed in the ant hill. And they stood outside this ant hill. They kept on looking at it. And they were surprised to see that ant hill, in the sense that they saw some light coming from inside, from this ant hill. And they were thinking, why there is a light inside this ant hill? So what they did was, there is two separate places where these lights were coming out. So out of their curiosity, they took a thorn and started poking into these holes. They didn't know who was inside the anthill, who was inside this anthill. And they left after poking it, and then the blood came out from there. They were just fulfilling their curiosity, you know, just like children, how they do. The same way, they did that. They went away, but what happened was, when they left and gone away, in a short period of time, the army people who had come with the king, and the king as well, they couldn't pass urine or stool. They couldn't go to toilet anymore. All blocked inside. Every one of them. It all got blocked inside. They couldn't understand why this has happened. So, so then they inquired, whose place is this? What's happening? Who is somebody whom we can talk to? So then they heard that it is Chyavanamaharshi's ashram. Chyavanamaharshi's ashram was that. So Chyavanamaharshi is known for his own, he was another rishi, famous rishi, isn't it? So they felt that we must have done some offense here, upset Chyavanamaharshi. It must be the reaction of that. That's how king realized this. Ministers also said that something we must have done wrong here. So after a while, Sukanya also got the same problem, what the king and the soldiers had. Sukanya also could not go to the toilet. So it's become a problem there. So she comes and says to Shariyadi that I have a problem like this. I don't know what to do. It is getting difficult, he said. And she said that I made a mistake. I saw some two glowing things inside an anthill. I took this thorn and poked it, and blood came out from that. I did this mistake. I don't know who that is, what that is, nothing. I have no idea, he said. And so all of them together got close to this anthill. They came and looked at the anthill. And in two places, the blood was coming out. Blood was flowing from two places. So at that time, he said that little by little, they broke the anthill. Inside the anthill, Chyavanamaharshi is sitting there. All a bag of bones. No flesh inside. Only these two eyes are glowing, which they have poked with the thorn, right? And Chyavanamaharshi is known for his anger, like Durvasa. Gets angry. And if he gets angry, he can curse. And if he curses, that's it. That's the end of it. So, these people have poked in his eyes. And but this is the most interesting thing. In reality, it was not a big problem. Problem was this, that Chyavana noticed these girls. So he wanted to see them. So what he did was, he opened up at the places where the eyes are there in the hill. And he has got the divine vision. He wanted to see them playing, these girls playing there. So he made these two holes himself. And these girls didn't know anything about Chyavanamaharshi. They came and poked into that. So, and through these holes he is looking at them. Chyavanamaharshi is looking at the girls through these two holes and observing them. So, that's where he got it. For that, he got the medicine for that. Now, if he's a very young man, you can understand. But he is 114 years old, says in the Bhagavatam clearly. 114-year-old man is doing this. That desire has not gone away from inside. To show that is why in the Bhagavatam, to tell us all these things. Desire don't go. So it is he who has made these two holes and looking through that. So it's no point in talking about all this now. King knew the problem. He is a rishi. If he curses, and this problem they have got, that they can't go to toilet anymore. So the king immediately fell in his friend and paid obeisances to him. So he asked for forgiveness, apologized on behalf of the girls, on behalf of Sukanya and the friends. The king apologized to them. Charana Maharshi says that you want me to forgive you? At this old age you have poked my eyes and broke them all, and now you want me to forgive you, he said. So the king held his feet and asked for forgiveness. He said, it has happened, what can I do now? It has happened like this. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do that. But please don't get upset. Knowing well that Chyavana can get upset. So, if that's the case, he said, marry your daughter to me. This Sukanya. Marry her to me. Chyavana Maharshi is 114 years old. Sukanya is probably 16, 17 years old. Young girl. So, king didn't expect that he will put a request like this. She was very dear to him, who Sukanya, to Shariyadi. So he didn't know what to do, but the problem is so serious that he can't go to the toilet. And everybody who is in the camp, nobody could go to the toilet. So he says that when he looked at Shariyadi, even his head is not properly fixed, it is shaking like this. And to marry Sukanya to him, it was heartbreaking for the king, isn't it? So, is that old? Both the eyes have gone now. So that's the situation. So the king didn't know what to do. King didn't know what to say, how to reply that. This is where that intelligence of Sukanya comes in. Sukanya knew what to do. What did Sukanya say? Sukanya says to the father, doesn't matter, I will marry him. And I will stay with him, I'll look after him, I'll place him with my service. Sukanya's that personality, she spoke very strongly, and the king agreed. King had no other choice now. Because if you don't agree, then you know the after effects is not very good. So it so happened that Chyavana Maharshi was pleased, Sukanya was pleased, and so therefore Shariyadi decided to marry Sukanya to Chyavana Maharshi. And that's how Chyavana Maharshi married Sukanya in the forest. So, this chapter is all about Sukanya. Sukanya's personality, that intelligence in her. Sukanya says, the way Sukanya is looking at it, Sukanya says, how fortunate I have to be to marry a rishi like this. Exactly like the way Devahuti married Kardama Prajapati in the third canto. You see? So, intelligence of the girl, sometimes you will see like this. By pleasing Chyavana Maharshi, Sukanya knew that she can get what she wants in life. Particularly, to have a relationship with a great rishi like that. You shouldn't look at Chyavana Maharshi's swabhavam into this. Their spiritual power is so high, because of their tapas austerities, that they are capable of doing amazing things which we can't even imagine. That power they have, the rishis have. So, just like Kardama Prajapati, Chyavana Maharshi also is a great personality. You will see another person coming in the ninth canto similarly in the like that, Saubhari, another rishi. How he could change, he was so powerful that when he wanted to marry Mandhadav's daughter, Mandhadav didn't want to marry his daughter. Then what? Mandhadav escaped because Mandhadav told Saubhari, then go to my palace. There are 50. I have got 50 daughters there. You can ask any one of them. If anybody agrees to marry me, I have no objection. That's how he escaped from the problem. Because Saubhari was underneath the water performing penances for thousands of years. Due to lying underneath the water, his whole skin, the body, everything has become very, the muscle, everything has gone and it's all hanging. The flesh, everything was hanging. He was looking so ugly. And he comes and says to Mandhadav, I want to marry your daughter. Mandhadav says, didn't know what to answer. So Mandasa says, you go and see all the 50 girls are there, and you can select any one of them and marry whomever agrees to marry you. In that way, Mandava escaped from the problem. When he got there, all the girls were trying to run away, seeing him. So what did he do? By his yogic power, he changes his body and takes a youthful body. When he became very youthful, all the 50 girls says, we all want to marry you. So he married all the 50 girls later. This is Mandava, the Saubhari story. So here, in the Shariyadi story, in Chavana Maharshi story, what happened? Sukanya knew Chavana Maharshi's power. This is what I am saying. Vedic culture means these rishis. All these rishis, they kept this tradition. They were such powerful personalities. It is through them we got the Upanishads. It is through them we got all the Vedas, all the Puranas. Everything is their property. It is through them everything has been given. So, so Sukanya says, how fortunate I am giving an opportunity to serve this great sage like that. So, and I am willing to stay here looking after him. So king says that best thing is to agree. Otherwise this rishi will curse us and the whole family will be finished with that. So Sukanya married Chavana Maharshi. Sukanya Chavana Yatha. And the king went back to the palace. King went back to the palace. So this story, even Valmiki has quoted in the Ramayana. So if Valmiki has to quote this story, you can imagine in how Valmiki sees Sukanya as an example of a womanhood, women's nature. That means even for Sita Devi to take as an example Sukanya, then you can imagine how qualified Sukanya is. How qualified and intelligent Sukanya is. So, in that relationship, Chavana Maharshi never got angry once while Sukanya was with him. So you can imagine how she managed to keep his temper under control. Cool all the time. That requires some expertise, isn't it? To keep the husband all the time in a peaceful state. That was her success. Sukanya's success. So Sukanya says to him that in many instances, even though Chavana Maharshi wanted to get angry, couldn't get angry because of Sukanya's behavior, that nature. Through her service, she pleased Chavana Maharshi so well. That's what it is. So, people who get angry, if you notice, when they get happy, they will be like that. They will also go to extreme. Isn't it? Those who are getting very angry, when they get happy, they go to the extreme side there also. So Chavana Maharshi also, when he felt happy with Sukanya, he was so happy with her. He was so happy with her. So, by now, something else has happened. When Sukanya goes to the forest to get flowers, and dharba grass and everything for Maharshi. That's all Maharshi expects from Sukanya. Like Kardama Prajavati from Devahuti. Her duty was not like today. Today's service is different, isn't it? Their service is different. Their service, what does the Rishi need? Rishi doesn't need anything except flowers, fruits and the grass, dharba grass, for their sacrifices, whatever they have to perform. So when Sukanya goes into the forest to get these flowers and everything, one or two people started visiting her there. Ashwini Devas from the heavenly planets. Seeing this Sukanya and her beauty, they started visiting her there. And they are the physicians of the heavenly planets. Not our doctors. They are doctors. Doctors from the heavenly planets. They are the Ashwini Devas. Ashwini Kumaras they are called. So, they will wait every day when Sukanya leaves the ashram, because in front of Chavana Maharshi, they couldn't come there. They knew that if Chavana Maharshi curses them, they'll be finished. So they'll wait outside till Sukanya comes from the ashram and go out to go get the flowers, everything. So that became their job. And Sukanya did not take notice of them seriously, ignored them completely and carried on with her business. One day, this Chavana Maharshi, he has an inward eye, eyes inside. So he knew what was going on. He doesn't have to physically see everything. Sitting there, he knew what was happening in the ashram. So when Suganya came back on that particular day, Chavana Maharshi asked her, calling, "Suganya, did you see anybody in the forest today? Did you see anyone today in the forest?" Suganya said, "Yes, I have seen somebody there," he said. "Did you ask them who they are?" Suganya said, "No, I didn't ask them who they are," he said. Because Suganya knew that Chavana Maharshi will know who they are without being told, isn't it? So Suganya understood already the news has reached. So Suganya was very straight and honest about it, saying that I never had inquired who they are. They were coming and standing there and they are going away from there. So, and Suganya was told, Chavana Maharshi told her, "Call them here," he said. So they were still around. Suganya goes and tells Ashwini Kumaras to come. So Ashwini Kumaras came there. They were like this, frightened. If he's going to get cursed, that's it. That's the end of life, isn't it? So they looked at Chavana Maharshi and tried to sense what mood he is. On the one hand, because of the service of Suganya, Chavana Maharshi is not so unhappy. But on the other side, he was a little bit concerned about this visit of Kumaras, Ashwini Kumaras. So he says to them that Chavana Maharshi is saying to Ashwini Kumaras, "You have been visiting this ashram for a few days now, haven't you?" he said. They immediately fell at his feet and told him, "Yes, we were coming here, but please don't curse us." This was the request straight away. Now, Chavana Maharshi says to them, "I have not called you here to curse you, but we need you we have some business with you." So they said, "What do you want? We will do that for you." Said, "You know that I got married recently. Look at me," he said, "my situation. I look 150 years old. And look at my body. And look at Suganya. She's young. And it's not very nice to be a husband like this, my situation at the moment, the way I am. Have you got any medicine for this?" Because you are coming from there, isn't it? "The best medicine you must have. So you should give it to me, that medicine," he said. So they're saying that, "We don't have the medicine, but we'll make it for you. We'll make it for you." So they prepared a medicine, and that's what is Chyavanaprasham. But today's Dabur. The Dabur used that word, but it is Devi, the mix is not right. What Chavana Maharshi has prepared. But all the devotees are buying. It is Vedic. They are buying that. How we are all living in a different world. So at one time in ISKCON, so many devotees are buying this because this is the only Vedic medicine they came to know, Chyavanaprasham. So they were buying that. So Dabur's business boosted heavily. This business went up. Anyway, so that Chyavanaprasham, you will, once you take it properly, you will become youthful, very youthful, isn't it? But if you hear this story in the Bhagavatam and go and buy this Chyavanaprasham in the forest, even the health what you have got, you may lose it. That's also there. You have to be careful about that. So, this is the mistake happens always. We hear something from Bhagavatam, Puranam, and then we'll go and do something, thinking that it is authorized and bona fide and all that. And then we will take it and then we will get into trouble later. So, Chavana's story was like this. Chavana took this Chyavanaprasham and Ashwini Kumaras told him, "Take this and go and bathe in the tank and come back." As they said, he took the Chyavanaprasham, went and bathed in the tank, and when he came out, he was 20 years old. A very youthful body he had. So, when all these things happened, in the middle of that, after Chavana Maharshi has turned his body into this youthful body, Chavana Maharshi looked so beautiful, as beautiful as Suganya in many ways. And they were living a good life. It was at that time, Shariyadi wanted to see his daughter, Suganya. He comes to the forest to see the family. So in his mind, It is still, Chyavana Maharshi is 115 years old, old man. Suganya is a young girl, isn't it? So, when he came and saw this young man with the Suganya, he didn't like it. He says, what's this going on here? And he pulled Suganya and gave her a good thrash for behaving like this. He said, what has happened to you? That you have created a bad name for me, as well as what you are doing is not the right thing. So when he said that, Suganya laughed. Because Suganya knows what has happened. King doesn't know. So he says to, Suganya says to Shariyadi, Daddy, this is my husband. But he has changed his body like this. And don't get angry with him or with me. Because all the story he had to say, what happened, how Ashwini Kumaras came, and through Ashwini Kumaras, how they changed the body. All this whole story, she repeated to Shariyadi. So when he heard all that, that Chyavana Maharshi, due to Ashwini Deva's help, this has happened to them. So Chyavana Maharshi thought, this Ashwini Kumar has done a great favor, for which I have to give something in return for them. They didn't ask any money for the medicine. Who? Ashwini Kumar. But what else shall we give it to them? So there Chyavana Maharshi decided that when sacrifices are performed, yagam is performed, normally there is a share for all the demigods. But Ashwini Kumaras are doctors, aren't they? So Ashwini Kumaras don't have any share in the Havisa. Havisa means when the sacrifice is performed, there is no offering for them. Ashwini Kumaras don't have any offering. But why? Because from an aristocratic level, Ashwini Kumaras is not on the same category as the demigods, Devadas, right? So they will not eat with them and they have no offering with them. This is Ashwini Kumaras' story. Although they will be called in when there is a problem with the health. When there is a health problem. So, just like you can see in the football matches, how they do. They keep in the same way. So, so Shariyadi says, Chyavana Maharshi says to Shariyadi, I'll do one thing. What they have done to me is something I have to repay in back. Therefore, I will make an arrangement that in sacrifices from now on, they will also have a portion, Havisa, for them. And as soon as this was decided by Chyavana Maharshi, and he decided to perform a sacrifice and offer the Havis to Ashwini Kumaras, Indra immediately sensed in the heavenly planets that this is the decision has been made. So he came over straight away. And he says to Chyavana Maharshi that these are doctors, physicians, and you can't offer them Havis. Indra says this to Chyavana Maharshi. And they are not even allowed to sit with us and to eat. Chyavana Maharshi says to the king Shariyadi, don't look at Indra. He is nobody. Who is he? He says. This is Chyavana Maharshi's attitude. Continue with the sacrifice, he said. Indra says to Shariyadi that, and it's that I will cut your hands off. And he took his thunderbolt to cut the hands off. And Indra's nature, if anybody getting prosperous or better in life, he doesn't like it. Our Indra is known for that. You'll see this Indra's this behavior. So as soon as Indra pulled the hands out, the sword to cut his hands off, Chyavana Maharshi says, wait a minute, he said, that let the hand stay like that. It will never come down from there. This was a curse from Chyavana Maharshi. Indra didn't know what to do. Indra was in serious trouble. He couldn't bring the hands back. At that time, Indra says that we will agree to... This is Indra. Indra is like this. He will get into trouble everywhere. And this is why in Krishna's pastimes you will see that Krishna, Indra comes after flooding Gokulam, Vrindavanam, everywhere flooded. And Krishna had to leave the Govardhana hill, and all the gopis and cowherd boys, everything had been sheltered under the Govardhana hill. And after that, one day Indra comes to visit Krishna, isn't it? For asking for forgiveness. Shuga Brahmarshi says there, this guy, Indra, he says, look at his arrogance. Even while coming to see Krishna, after doing all the offenses he has done to Krishna, while coming to see him, he's still wearing his big crown with all the jewels on that, to show that I am somebody important still. That arrogance inside Indra. So that Indra's nature, to show to us, that is why in the Bhagavatam these stories, that in spite of the fact that so many times he has been taught so many lessons, he never seems to learn the lesson, that arrogance in him. So he says to him that when Indra says, we have no objection giving them, and everything was pacified, at that time the hand came down. Up to that time the hand stood like this, with the sword in the hand. You can imagine. So from that day onwards, Ashwini Kumaras got a share in the sacrifices. And this is also another interesting story in this chapter. All this has happened because of what? The purity of Suganya. Suganya's capacity to change the situations with her power, that good intelligence in serving Chavana Maharshi, pleasing Chavana Maharshi, and the good intelligence, you can see her dealing with Chavana Maharshi, her dealing with her father Shariyati, dealing with Indra and everybody. She was so expert at it. And that you can see in this chapter. And this story, what you are reading in the Bhagavatam, is expanded to many, many chapters in the Mahabharatam. It runs into many, many chapters. So, so in order to indicate to us, if there is a good character like Suganya inside, even if it is any problems in life, still it should purify the situation. In other words, due to that purity in Suganya, in nature in Suganya, Chavana Maharshi got benefited, Shariyadi got benefited, Ashwini Kumaras got benefited. Everybody got benefited. So, these stories in the Bhagavatam is to tell us that when does Krishna gets pleased with somebody so many times, and in several instances in this Bhagavatam, this story is trying to point out this one factor to us. So it's 10:30. We'll stop now and we'll have a few minutes kirtan, and then we can continue with the prasad. Jai Jai Atma Prabhu Ki Jai. Jai Prabhu Bada Ki Jai.